Hey guys.
Good morning.
Hey, we're going to give folks a little bit of time to gather around as we begin our time together today. So it looks like you've got our family to yours on a snowy Sunday morning, including the Lib there. She wanted to say hello to everybody as well. So we're going to give folks a little bit of time to come on. I know we still, well, we just now hit the 10:45 mark, and people are gathering. So at any rate, we're so glad that you're joining us today, man. There's been a lot that's taken place over the, particularly the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks have seen some pretty extraordinary weather in the Piedmont Triad. And I don't know about where you are, but we have heard anywhere from 12 to 16 inches, some as low as 8, pretty much points south got a little bit more from us. I think we're sitting on about 8 inches right now. So it's a beautiful winter wonderland, and we're so glad that that you guys are joining us today. So grab your Bible if you don't already have it. We're going to crank it up here in just a few moments. And I know some of you all were probably thinking, hey, man, we're going to have some music today because we have a little choir behind us. Well,
no,
that's not going to happen. But at any rate, grab your Bible, come on back, and we'll see you here in just a moment. We're going to be looking at some passages that actually come out of Hebrews chapter 5. So if you do happen to have that Bible handy, that's what our text is going to be today. So you know, to kind of start things off, I think that one of the issues that I have seen, particularly as of late, is I'll be talking to somebody, and we'll get into a discussion. We'll get into a biblical discussion, and what happens is all of a sudden you begin to start hearing, you know, some theological inaccuracies when it comes down to what people are thinking, seeing, feeling, or believing. And yeah, it's so ironic because what happens is you get a situation where somebody says, well, I've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, sometimes even more years. And then you scratch your head because what happens is there are some of the very basics, some basic theological things that are just, you know, completely messed up in their head. And what I've seen more and more, yeah, as I go forward in this days, is that there are a ton of people who have a concept, or they have some sort of an idea of what spirituality is. Either that, or what they've done is they have taken the word of somebody, maybe a pastor, teacher, or somebody else who had some errant theology along the way. Well, you know, the problem with that is the apologetics. That's a big word. I'll call it a spiritualized word, apologetics. But apologetics simply means knowing why you believe what you believe. And the only way that you're ever going to know that is that you've got to get into the word for yourself. You can't always take somebody's word for it. Now, over the years, you have heard me preach about Thomas. You have heard me talk about the fact that Thomas was that guy that we give the nickname Doubting Thomas. We always sit back and say, oh, well, Thomas was that guy that that doubted Christ's resurrection. I give Thomas a little more credit in this day and age, and mainly because Thomas was that guy who said, I'm not willing to just take somebody else's word for it. I want to prove it. I want to experience the Lord myself. And of course, when he actually had that opportunity, Jesus didn't scold him. Jesus was very compassionate and very caring when he saw Thomas. Remember what he said to him? He said, "Yeah, here, you come over here and feel these nail-scarred hands." Yeah, he said, "Yeah, look, here's my side. You can touch that." The interesting part about it is that after Thomas experienced the Lord, he never looked back. Never ever again. I think today, folks, we need more Christians who are going to experience God on a daily basis, because when you do that, you never look back. So we're going to get started here in just a moment with that as our backdrop for our message today. If you do have your Bible, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 5. We're just going to look at a couple of verses in there, but if you've got it, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. As always, welcome our online minister, Dr. John Cazito. He will be doing exactly what he does every Sunday. I call him our online minister, so as you're tuning in, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. Love him. Certainly appreciate all that he does to minister to our online audience. Normally, we're in a little bit different setting. Normally, we're in the church. Normally, I'm preaching from a pulpit, and Dr. Cazito is right over to my left-hand side, and he is interacting with you. If you have any questions, you can certainly ask them at any point. And if Dr. Cazito doesn't know the answer to him, he'll get the answer to him for you. So be sure to give him a wave emoji or something to that nature. And as always, we appreciate Dr. Cazito and all that he does for us. So as always, you know, I know that we always have some visitors, whether we're shut-ins or I think everybody's shut in today. But regardless of the fact, there are some folks that that tune in every week. We're so so happy for that. I know my mom is tuning in from Southern West Virginia today because they have some weather issues there as well. As always, Donry, we're glad that you're along with us, as well as Nancy Tuttle, Tim. Tim's always good to have you on board with us. And then Othenia as well. So we're so tickled that you're joining us this morning. Again, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Hebrews chapter 5, specifically verses 12 through 14. So, you know, in our journey of faith, you know, growth is one of those things that's essential for every Christian. Now, you notice what we started off with and how many folks have some errant theology, as it were. Where they get this, I don't have any idea. But, you know, I know as I get older, sometimes what happens is my face says what my mind is thinking nowadays. And, you know, if that's you, you can put an amen in the comments, because when somebody is telling you something and it's just completely off base, yeah, you know, for me, it's when it's in a theological thing, somebody's completely off base. I'm not sitting there going, Usually what I'm doing is I'm sitting there going, where did that come from? And I could go point it in the scriptures, and I want each and every one of us to be able to do that as well. So, you know, in the journey of faith, we have got to grow. Growth is essential for every Christian. Now, unfortunately, many believers find themselves stagnant, and that's a word that, you know, reminds me of growing up. And when I say growing up, I'm talking about I grew up on a river. There were little offshoots, you know, on the river. And sometimes if the water would get high, water would get over into a place that it didn't continue to go through. And what would happen would be the water would stagnate. Now, if you've ever been around stagnant water, after some time, what you're going to realize is it stinks, okay? Plain and simple, bottom line, it stinks. So, you know, is your spiritual life have a stink to it right now because maybe it has stagnated? so many believers find themselves in a position where they're stagnant, and they're not realizing the hindrances to their spiritual maturity. Now, today we want to look at some key reasons why Christians may not be growing and how we can overcome those barriers. I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Hebrews chapter 5, specifically verses 12 through 14. And as we do that today, we want to identify and to address obstacles that will hinder our spiritual growth in our lives and in the lives of all believers. Okay, look with me, if you would, at our scriptures. That's Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to be able to at least gather in a virtual way. Lord, it's not the same as being able to get together like normal, Lord, to receive the hugs, the handshakes, and the smiles. But Father, it's good to be able to at least gather together through the venue of technology. And we're grateful and thankful that we do have that opportunity today. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to open our hearts and open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help keep the distractions away from us for these next few moments that we'll have the opportunity to spend in your word. And Lord, may you speak to our heart in a great and in an incredible way as only you can. And Lord, we'll give you the credit for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. So as we look at this particular text today, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were facing persecution, and they were tempted to revert back to Judaism. Now, that's one of those things that often people do. What happens is if we venture out on something and all of a sudden we begin to hit obstacles or something becomes difficult, our first response is generally to go back to where we had been before, to go back where it was comfortable. And yeah, that's a word I like to use. So many times, if you've been around me for very long, you've heard me say before, we don't need to have that back to Egypt mentality. So if you're versed in the Bible, you'll understand what I'm saying. How many times did Israel, when they were out in the wilderness and they got upset, or they were encountering struggles, and they would go and they would go to Moses and they'd say to him, "Oh, were there not enough graves back in Egypt? And you know, there was at least enough food, and there was a place for us to do things." So what happens is we encounter those obstacles, our first tendency is to run back to what we know. And that was something that the early Christians were facing as they were facing persecution. They were tempted to revert back to Judaism. Now, the writer of our text is encouraging them to hold fast to their faith and to grow in their understanding and application of spiritual truths. And you know, that same message is true for you and I today. That is what we need to do. We need to hold fast to our faith, and we have to grow. We're not to become, to just stay baby Christians our whole lives. You've heard me say this before, that there's a huge difference between somebody who has 1 year experience as a Christian, and then somebody who has 1 year of experience 40 times over. So what happens is too often we've got folks who are older. They maybe have followed the Lord for even decades, but they're still kind of in that toddler or newborn mentality on the spiritual side of things. So this passage is speaking to the need for spiritual maturity. And what happens is a metaphor is used. A metaphor of milk and solid food is used to highlight the difference between basic teachings and the deeper, more robust understanding of the word. So if I were to ask you this question right now, and be honest, listen, be honest with yourself. The Holy Spirit is with you right now. The Holy Spirit is the one who will lead you in the way to answer this question. But the question would simply be, where are you on your spiritual walk? Would you still be considered a spiritual toddler, or would you be considered a spiritual adult? I mean, have you been through the things? Have you got the knowledge that you need? Have you been discipled? Have you grown in the word of the Lord? Have you grown in your walk with him? And then if I were to ask you, on what level would that be? You know, if you had to use something that we can use as a measuring stick or a standard, and that being, you know, age, if, you know, would you say that you were a newborn believer? Would you say that you are a toddler believer? Would you say you're an adolescent believer? Or would you say that you have come far enough that you in your own heart would be considered an adult believer as far as discipleship, as far as your relationship with the Father? Okay, now, you're the one answering that question to yourself and the Holy Spirit. I know I was just thinking that some people were probably saying, "Well, yeah, I would think I'd be an adult," and the Holy Spirit's looking at you going, And then you're like, well, okay, so maybe I'm a young adult. And they're like, okay, well, how about an adolescent? Listen, no matter where you are, be honest about where you are, okay? you will never get to where you want to be until you first admit to where you are, okay? This is what we need. We need a deeper, more robust understanding of the scriptures. And the expectation from our text is that believers should progress from foundational teachings to a more mature comprehension of not only God's word, but of God himself. Okay, so many Christians are not growing because they lack certain spiritual disciplines, and they're hindered by worldly influences. And today, that's one of the things I want to spend a little bit of time looking at. We've gotten the foundation for what we're talking about, and we've taken that moment to evaluate where we are in being honest. You know, where did you fall on that particular scale? And if it wasn't that I feel like, and the Holy Spirit agrees with me, that I'm on an adult level. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. All of us can always do a little bit better than what we're doing. Some of us can do a lot better than what we're doing. But you know, we're not expecting perfection, but be honest, where are you on that spiritual maturity level? If somebody comes up to you, and let me give you an example, when somebody comes up to you, because this is happening more and more today, if somebody comes up to you and says, why do you believe in, you know, whatever, you know, why do you believe in salvation? Why do you believe in Jesus? You know, why do you believe that the world at one point was, you know, destroyed by a flood? What kind of answers are you giving them? Now, I'm also going to say this. Are you giving them answers that you know, or are you simply regurgitating an answer that somebody told you without having the factual insight into it? Folks, you will stand on what you know and what you believe in your heart. And that is what I, as well as every real Christian on the planet wants. We want you to understand why you take the biblical stance that you do, so that you can be able to defend it in a world that is ever slipping away from spiritual things. You are going to have to defend what you believe at some point along the way. So my question is, would you pass the test? Would you do a good job in defending your faith? Do you understand why you believe what you believe? So, you know, folks, going to church is not simply about just going there and seeing your friends. Fellowship's a great aspect of that, and we're going to discuss that in just a moment. But the thing about it is, what is it that you are gleaning from God's word? How is it that you are growing? Okay, so today, and based on our scripture, we want to look at six reasons why Christians are not growing. Maybe you will find yourself among one of these six. Maybe you'll find yourself among all of the six. But at any rate, you've got to know where you are to get to where you need to be. Okay? So six reasons why Christians are not growing. And number one reason is no Bible study. You're not in the Word. Or what you do is you've got a Bible, you carry it to church with you on Sunday, but it's never opened, you know, Monday through Saturday. You know, you've got a good Bible. And most of us, what we'll wind up doing is we'll wind up getting a really nice Bible. I've got a really nice Bible here that was a gift from my family years ago. I mean, I can just about roll that thing up like a newspaper. But it's not about that. It's about whether or not you're getting into it and whether you're allowing the Word to get into you. I've used this illustration before, but you can't just sleep on it under your pillow and be able to receive the Word of God by osmosis. It's not going to sink into you that way. You've got to get into it. So we've got a generation of folks who don't even open their Bible. Romans 10:17 tells us, so when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, without regular study of Scripture, believers miss out on the nourishment that is needed for faith and for growth. See, the Bible is our guide, and neglecting it stunts our spiritual growth or our spiritual development. Now, we all know what that term is like. Now, I've often likened it to looking at how a human being develops. If you had a child, or you knew somebody that had a child, and what happened was they should have been making more strides in their growth. And it's kind of funny because, yeah, now when you take the children to the doctors, they'll have a scale. They'll tell you what percentile the child is in as far as their weight. What percentile, in other words, where they fall on the average of all the children their age as far as weight, as far as their size, their develop, different things. They'll tell you where they fit on that particular scale. So we understand physical growth. Now, if you were looking at a child, or your child, or somebody else's child, and you know, you were beginning to see that they were not growing properly, that they were not developing properly, there were outward signs that you were seeing, at this particular point, you would become concerned about that. You would be trying to get to doctors. You'd be trying to find out, why is my child or this child not growing at the rate that they should grow? So you can apply that same principle of a child and growing and nourishment to our spiritual growth. You know, when people look at you, or when the Lord looks at you, more importantly, does he see you progressing in your spirit? Are you growing spiritually as you should, so that you may grow into an adult, or as your growth been stunted? Now, the thing that we need to understand is the Bible is our guide, and neglecting it is what really, really holds us back in our spiritual development. So, you know, number one of the six reasons why Christians are not growing is that we're not studying the Bible. Listen, if that's you, I want to encourage you, find you a small group, find you a discipleship group. I want you to realize that even your churches, Sunday school is should be discipleship if it's being done properly. You know, at our church, you know, the adult Bible study on Sunday evening, the Awana program, these are designed for you to be able to spiritually grow. These are discipleship type things, and guess what they use? The Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to somebody, you know, using a book and maybe going through a book of some sort. But folks, listen, the Bible is the only thing that is infallible. Be sure that you are using it. I can't tell you in today's day and age how many people will sit back and say, well, I read such and such a book, and this is where the theory came from. And my whole deal is, yeah, okay, you read that book, but what does this book, what does the Word of God say about that? Because obviously, if you're in the Word of God, you will see the fallacy that goes along with what you just quoted me from a text by thus says so-and-so. We have got to use the Bible. That is it. That is our standard. Now, once again, you can use study aids, you can use study tools, but when it comes down to it, everything that you say and do and believe should be sifted through the Word of God. You have got to point it back to that. And if it does not agree with what God's Word says, then the author of the book that you have just chosen is wrong. As cool as what they've just said may sound, as much as you go, oh yeah, that's really, really neat. If it conflicts with God's Word, then I promise you, it's not of God, and you are stunting your spiritual growth. All right? Number two, no prayer life. All right, Ephesians 6:18 exhorts us to pray always with all prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, make your request known to the Lord. Prayer is our communication with God, and a lack of it creates distance from Him. You see, without a vibrant prayer life, we lack guidance and strength for spiritual growth. You know, I've listened to a lot of pastors, and I understand this as well, when particularly being in a group and with some of those guys that I would call heavy hitters as pastors. They're you know, known throughout the world. And very often somebody would ask them, they'd say, well, you know, if there was something you could change in your ministry, you know, over however many decades, what is the one thing you would change? And every single one of them has said the same thing. They said, I would have prayed more. And they even go as far as to say, you know, prayer is not part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. That is your communication tool with the Lord. So let me ask you once again, as the Holy Spirit deals in your life, where do you stand on your prayer life? Do you just go to the Lord when there are times of trouble? Do you just go to Him when it's a circumstance or a situation that you need Him to help get you out of something or help get you into something? Or do you just have those times when you just go to Him and say, Lord, you know what? There's a ton of things I could ask you for. There's a ton of things on my heart. There's a ton of things I need. But today, I just want to just chat with you a little bit. I just want to tell you how great you are. I just want to tell you, you know, thank you for even getting me up today and the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. I mean, think about it. I thought about it this morning. You know, I've got about 8 or 9 inches of snow. I can see it looking out the windows all around me. But I'm nice and warm in my house, and I attribute that to God Almighty. I'm thankful for that. There's food in the cupboards, and as a matter of fact, there's food in the stove for lunch that we're going to have in just a little bit. And God has provided that. And too many times we get to the point where we're not thankful. We take for granted the very, very blessings that God has given us. So we want to make sure that our prayer life is in order. Are you carrying not only the things of your heart to Him? The things of your heart are not always just something that you're asking for. I've said that too many people kind of liken God to a genie in a lamp. You know, something comes up and let's just rub the lamp and let's ask God to take care of this. That's not what it's about. It's about a relationship. You know, what kind of a relationship do you communicate with the Lord? Prayer is the way that we do that. So in the life that is spiritually stagnant, the prayer life is one of those things that is not in good shape. Now, if you've been around me for any amount of time, one of the things that you'll know and that you'll learn is that if somebody comes to me and they're sitting back and they're saying, Pastor, I'm having struggles in my life and here's what's taking place. The first question that I usually ask them is, how's your prayer life and how's your Bible study? And most of the time it's like, can we pick another subject because it's not really that good. Well, folks, when you do that, you are creating division. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation or anything to that nature, but you're breaking fellowship with the Father. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. But that's one of the things that happens. Now, let me get to number three. Number three of our six is one that I think is very sneaky. I think it happens to each and every one of us, often like the first two. But this one really, really hits hard. The third thing that shows a sign or a third thing that shows that a Christian is not growing, these are items. Okay, the third thing would be worldly distractions. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 warns us. It says, do not love the world or the things of the world. See, the allure of the worldly pleasures and concerns can divert our attention from God and hinder our spiritual growth. Folks, we must be vigilant to focus on heavenly things. And too many times what happens, Satan loves to get in there and distract us with worldly distractions. And I'm not saying that all those the things that are worldly. I mean, there are things that are important, but how easily do we get distracted? You know, I would say that too often we have spiritual attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or spiritual ADHD. It doesn't take a whole lot to pull us away from the things that God wants for us. It doesn't take a lot to pull us away from spending, you know, time in prayer and Bible study. You know what? Maybe you've got that quiet time going on. And have you ever noticed that the ball game that you wanted to watch is at the time that you've got that set? Or about the time that you get ready to spend time with the Lord, something else comes up. And then day by day, week by week, month by month, you find all the spiritual things beginning to slide down the priority list of your life. And what's happened is that we are distracted by the worldly things. So again, I pose the question to you, how distracted are you by worldly things? Okay. Now, some of you are sitting back going, well, I don't consider myself to be a worldly person. That's not what I'm talking about here. But distractions are something that happens to all of us, and they can happen very easy, and they can even be good things that distract us. But listen, don't forego God's great things just for the good things, all right? Do not love the world or the things of the world. Folks, the bottom line is that we're not going to be spending as much time in this world as we are in the kingdom of heaven. When you get there, when you think about the song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years, our mind cannot even fathom that. So what is the 50, 60, 70, 100 years that we might get to spend on earth as compared to what it's like for all of eternity? Are we living for this moment or are we living for the moments? Are we sending the treasures on to heaven or are we relying on them right here on the earth? Listen, we have got to be vigilant to focus on the heavenly things rather than the earthly things. So how easily are we distracted by those things of the world? Okay. Number four, the fourth thing is living in sin. This is something that distracts us and hinders us from our spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 urges us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin is a barrier to spiritual growth. You know, unconfessed sin and habitual sin just bogs us down and separates us from God's transformative power. You know, what happens is when we're living in sin, particularly, we know, I can't tell you how many times that I have had a discussion with somebody and they're living in sin. They have confessed that they're living in sin. And I'm sitting there going, listen, you know the answer to the question that you have just come and asked me. And they're like, well, I'm just not ready to give this up, or I'm just not ready to do this, or I'm just not ready to do that. Well, you know, God has a way of putting us in time out. You know, now I want you to hear me good on something. You and I, as believers, we can break fellowship with a father. You are not going to lose your salvation, okay? Make sure you hear me good on that. But there can be times when we break fellowship with him. I always call it being put in time out or being put in a corner. Okay. I remember growing up in school. I don't know if you all did, but there were times that if you did something that you shouldn't have done, particularly little boys, we would wind up having to go stand in the corner. That meant that we were away from everybody else. That didn't mean that we weren't still loved. That didn't mean the teacher was no longer going to teach us. It just meant that there was a corrective measure that needed to be, that needed to take place. And if you remember what it was that the Lord, you know, said when there was an offering or a sacrifice that was brought to the altar, God said, hey, look, you have come with sin in your heart. You have come to me and you're presenting an offering, but you know you've got that willful sin in your heart. You've got some relationships that need to be fixed. He said, leave that offering, leave it at the altar, go make things right, and then come back and present that offering. So listen, folks, if you are living in sin, that is going to be a tremendous downfall or a tremendous hindrance in you being able to spiritually mature. Do you have unconfessed or habitual sins in your life that the Holy Spirit is pointing out right now that need to be dealt with? Okay? All right, if they are, today is the day. Now is the time to deal with those. Okay? Now the fifth thing, now I said there's six, so I'm powering through them. The fifth thing that are marks that we're having some issues with our spiritual growth is this: no fellowship. Okay, number five is no fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we are encouraged to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Fellowship with other believers strengthens and encourages us in our faith journey. Did you hear that? I want you to make sure that you hear that. Fellowship with other believers strengthens and encourages us in our faith journey. Now, I don't know about you, but like I said, today and last Sunday, I really miss not being able to be together with the family of God known as Central Baptist Church. Man, I miss walking in, and I miss getting a hug and a little bit of sugar from Nancy Moreau at the door. I miss seeing the beautiful smiles of folks. I miss the handshakes. I miss the hugs. I miss being able to come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, to me, it is important. And I can't tell you how many times people want to come to me and they'll say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I don't have to be a church member to go to heaven. No, you don't. But man, listen, you're one of those that when you're doing that and you're the lone wolf out there, that the predator always goes after the one that's out there by himself, okay? I told people before, and my congregation has heard me say this a bunch. I grew up with Wild Kingdom and Marlon Perkins, and I remember old Marlon talking about how that one antelope would be away from the rest of the herd, and then in the midst of that, here's a lion that goes and attacks it. And the reason why was because it wasn't in the protection of the group. Folks, we're there as body of believers to be able to encourage and to strengthen and to bring accountability to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We always do better when we know somebody is watching us. So listen, we need that fellowship. That's what I have missed really for the last 2 weeks. As far as the sermon goes, we're here together. We're having the opportunity to hear God's word today. But it's not the same. I mean, I can't reach up here and hug this camera and get the same effect that I do when I put my arms around one of my brothers and sisters in Christ at the church. It's just a completely different thing. And what happens is that when we don't have that kind of fellowship, we don't have somebody to encourage us along. We don't have someone there to stir up the love and the good works that the Lord wants from us or what's in our heart. And he says, look, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, he didn't say that was a law, as it were, but he said these are things that are good. So if you're struggling with situations of your spiritual growth, you know, I'm giving you 6 very practical things today that you can look at and say, how am I doing in each of these areas, all right? And then there's another big word I'm going to bring up in just a minute that's going to help pull all of this together. So the 5th thing that's a hindrance to our spiritual growth is not fellowshipping one with another. Let me give you the final thing. 6 is not serving others, okay? The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, through love, serve one another. Serving others is an example of Christ's love, and it also fulfills his commandment. Remember what it was that Jesus said. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Without service, we miss an essential aspect of Christian growth and ministry. I can tell you this, for me, it is a great joy to be able to exercise gifts and talents and abilities that God has given me for his honor and for his glory. Even this past week, you know, Jim McDonald and I had a chance to, I'll call it, do a marathon drive to Tennessee because Tennessee got hit really bad with that ice storm. North Carolina Baptist on Missions is helping them out. They have deployed a lot of equipment to go there and help our brothers in need. And one of the things was they needed one of the tractor trailer bunk trailers. So Jimmy and I made the trip. We basically went down and back. That was 1,277 miles worth of driving. And what a joy to know that there are people that are sleeping in those bunks. It's given them an opportunity to have a warm, dry, comfortable place to sleep as they go out and serve other people. Now, I'm pretty sure Jimmy's probably watching as well. They were planning on bringing that trailer back because the power came back on, but the power has been going off and on and off and on. So they're still using those. In fact, Steve Kelly is there right now. I don't know if Steve's watching. He may be from Tennessee, but he is on site there. He's going to be doing chaplaincy work for a week. He's serving other people. If you remember, there's ministries that we have. You know, that a lot of you all participated back in, I'll call it the olden days, when we had the ministry to Grace Community. You went down there every month and you served because it was something that you could do. And the Lord expects us to take those talents and abilities and use them to serve other people. My question is, are you doing that? Or are you doing that expecting personal gain? Well, you know, I have this talent and ability and I get paid good money in life to do this. Man, the greatest thing that you can do is take what God has given you, use it for his honor and his glory because it belongs to him anyway. Did you hear me? Just like finances, you know, I don't have finances. It all belongs to God. I'm to be a steward of that. I'm supposed to manage it well. Are you managing it well? Are you managing the gifts and abilities that God has given you well? Are you serving others with them? Now, as I've gone through those 6 things, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts your heart. The Holy Spirit would be the one that has pointed out, yeah, I'm doing pretty good here, or I'm not doing good there. Whatever the circumstance may be, it's about getting it corrected based on what the Holy Spirit is showing you in your life today. Folks, spiritual growth requires something, and here's what I really wanted to get to. Maybe throughout today's message and through these 6 points, the Holy Spirit has pointed something out. But here's something that you need to understand. Spiritual growth requires intentional effort, particularly in areas such as Bible study, prayer, avoiding those worldly distractions, forsaking sin, engaging in fellowship and serving others. That's not going to happen by accident. You are going to have to purpose to do those things. I love to use that word. It's going to have to happen on purpose. You know, it's going to take an intentional effort on your behalf in those particular areas. Remember the areas that we talked about? Bible study. It's going to take an intentional effort. Prayer. It's going to take an intentional effort. Avoiding those worldly distractions. It's going to take an intentional effort. Forsaking sin. You're going to have to do that intentionally. Engaging in fellowship. That means you're going to have to get up and be where other Christians are. You're going to have to intentionally do that. Forsaking sin, turning away from that. That means you're going to have to take that stand. Engaging in fellowship, being with other people and serving other people. You are going to have to say, hey, these are things I need to do. I'm going to purpose to do that. I'm not just going to wait for the world to fall on me and say, oh, well, Lord, I was ready, but there weren't opportunities. Go out and find those opportunities. They're all around you. If you can't figure it out, listen, call me. We'll sit down because I guarantee you I can find a place for you in probably 3 seconds where you can use your gifts, talents, and abilities and serve the Lord in these ways and thus produce some spiritual growth. See, by addressing these faulty areas, believers can grow stronger in their faith and fulfill God's purpose for their lives. See, you're here for a reason, and it's not your purpose, it's God's purpose for your life. So my question is, are you fulfilling that? My first question is simply this. Do you know Him as your Heavenly Father? Have you trusted Him? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. Do you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart that says, hey, look, you know what? You were born a sinner, and without intervention, you are going to spend an eternity in hell. But thanks be to God that His only begotten Son, who was sinless, went to Calvary's cross, was buried in a barred tomb, rose again on the third day, and He is coming back for you and I. Folks, it's not just merely enough to know about the Father. You have to know the Father. So I'm asking you if you've done that. Have you given your life to Christ? Now, some people would sit back and say, well, how do you do that? Well, my situation is just like we're talking about today. Prayer is a communication line to the Father. If you need Christ today, I'm just going to say, wherever you are, no matter where you're watching this broadcast from, stop what you're doing and you can simply pray, Lord, today I know I am a sinner and I am on my way to hell. But Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, today I confess my sin to you. I ask forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you will save my soul. Now help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you did that, again, prayer is just a simple communication tool. And what's happened is that's the beginning. That is simply the handshake with the Father. He expects more of us. Yes, there are expectations as a believer. God has expectations of us that we live and that we represent the family well as we go forward. So, you know, there is this thing called discipleship, and this is exactly what we've been talking about today, ways to help you grow in your spiritual life. So listen, if you trusted Christ today, let us know. Yeah, you can let us know on this feed. You can contact me at the church. We want to help you along that path of discipleship, okay? Because we're cheering for you. We want to celebrate with you as well. What a glorious day it is. In fact, if you just trusted Christ, do you realize that the Word of God says that there is rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because you gave your life to Christ today? All of heaven is rejoicing over you. Isn't that cool? Man, that's cool to think about. Okay. Well, maybe today we've sat back and we've said, you know, I've just been what I call the habitual Christian. And when I say the habitual Christian, what I mean is that we've been going through the motions. Yeah, we've grown up in church. We've been church people all of our lives. You know, we know how to sing. We've memorized the hymns. We know all these things that are taking place. But yet, we're far from the Lord. You know, we've done them just out of habit. You know, we found ourselves drifting away. And then listen here, this is what's really tough about this. Most people don't want to admit that to somebody else because they sit back and say, well, I'm a deacon, I'm a choir member, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And yet when you struggle, you feel like it would be embarrassing for you to go and say, look, man, I'm just struggling in my spiritual life. Listen, don't let that be you. All of us struggle with certain things along the way, but together as a body of believers, we can help each other. We can go and we can grow step by step. Man, what a privilege it is to be able to, when you're struggling with something, to be able to have those people in your life that you can come up to and say, listen, I'm just having a tough time. And those men or women are going to pray for you and they're going to rally around you. And they're basically going to tell Satan, listen, if you're going to get to him, you're going to have to come through me. Boy, I've got some people like that in my life. And what a blessing and what a privilege that really, really is. So listen, if that's you, let us know. Let us know. We're there to help you. We want to see you grow in God's grace. We want to see you grow in the strength of our Father. Man, what a privilege that would be, and what a joy it is to be able to walk this journey with somebody else. So we're grateful and we're thankful for all that that is taking place in your life and in my life. So yeah, we can work and go forward with that in an incredible way. So if that's you, listen, maybe you just need to repent. You know, maybe you find yourself over in the corner like we were talking about before. And you want fellowship with the Lord again. Listen, you can go to him and simply pray. You can say, Lord, I realize that I'm out of fellowship with you. Father, help me. Forgive me. Help me, Lord, to restore fellowship. And help me, Father, to grow in your grace and your love and your strength. And Father, help me to be an instrument in your hands. Restore the joy of my salvation walk with you. As I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you did that, he is faithful and just. I always love to think about the prodigal son when it's a situation like that. And that prodigal son, when he came to himself, maybe today's the day you came to yourself, and when he headed back to his father, he rehearsed what he would say to him. I always think that's so cool because isn't that what we do? I'm going to go tell him this. I'm going to tell him that I've messed up, I've sinned against him. But yet it says, when the father saw him yet a ways off, he ran to him, threw his arms around him, and he said, look, go get a ring and put it on his finger. Get a robe and put it on his back. Kill the fatted calf because my son who was lost is now found. The same father is waiting for you. Will you return to him? Man, I hope and trust and pray that you will. Listen, let me close our time today in a word of prayer, but I do have a few announcements. Don't jump off just yet because I got some important things I want to share with you, but let's pray together as we close our time together today. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, we want to thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we ask that you would help us to identify and to remove the barriers to our spiritual growth. Anything, Father, that is hindering us, Lord, may they be removed. Father, I pray that you will guide us in developing a deeper relationship with you through study, through prayer, and through faithful living. Lord, may we grow in wisdom and in stature, serving others and glorifying your name. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, let me give you a couple things that we've got going on for today. Also, you know, I know that a lot of folks are tuned in from various places all over the United States. So to particularly to two of my little nephews there in Georgia, Rylan and Tate, I just want to say, hey, guys, thank you for tuning in today. Can't wait to have the opportunity to be able to see you. So let me tell you what we've got going on for today. Here's the list of all the stuff that's going to be happening at Central Baptist Church today. Nothing, because we're on a snow schedule, all right? I do want to take a moment and take an opportunity to share with you birthdays that we've got this coming week. This coming week, the only one that I actually see is our very own administrative assistant, Debbie Sullivan. Her birthday is coming up on Thursday, so if you get a chance, you might want to send her a message or drop by. Be sure to give her a big hello. All of our activities for the evening obviously are canceled because we can't even get in and out of the parking lot at the church at this particular point. on Monday. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm just going to go ahead and say that, now I know Steve's D-Life, Paul, I think, was supposed to be doing Steve's D-Life group. I'm just going to say that that Steve's D-Group and Mari's D-Group are canceled for Monday night. If it's any different, Steve and Mari, let me know. We will put word out, but I know there's still a lot of snow. So at this point, those D-Groups are canceled. If it's otherwise, I will be sure to let you know. Otherwise, just a couple things going up. Ladies, your connection meeting is going to be February the 4th at 4 o'clock p.m., unless that gets changed. And then, let's see, yeah, that's in Fellowship Family Life Center 116. And then your monthly breakfast will be February the 11th at Cagney's on Friendly. Now, folks, be ever mindful of our Cuba mission trip. We've got that coming up. It's one we go every year. Normally, what we do is we will collect the offering, the church offering that goes to support our Cuba mission. We usually do that the four Sundays leading into our trip. We don't have that because we've missed this Sunday. So I'm going to ask you to begin praying about what the Lord would have you to do to support our Cuba mission trip. This is where we take care of the senior adult center down there. We meet with pastors. We pay the pretty much the annual salary of the Awana missionary over there. We see all these different churches, and we get to minister to them. So be prayerful about that and what the Lord would have you to give, because we're only going to have, I think, 3 weeks leading into our trip to be able to meet the budget and the needs of what we have to meet over there. So again, that trip's going to be the 27th of February through the 6th. Now, here's something else I want to tell you. So if you jumped off early, you messed up. If you're still here, great. On the 15th of February, we will be having our regular communion service. But as a lot of you know, I was blessed to have the opportunity to go to Israel in early December. While we were there at the tomb, the empty tomb, the resurrection tomb, our group of pastors, was about 1,000 of us that were there. We actually had communion at the garden tomb. Well, while there, I was able to pick up some olive wood communion cups. So right here's one of the olive wood communion cups. And if you attend and you're there for our communion on the 15th, we're going to serve communion. Phyllis has already got the plan worked out, but we're going to serve communion out of these little wooden olive wood cups, and you'll get to keep your cup as a reminder and as a gift from your pastor, Roy Carter, to remember not only that trip to Israel, but you are always a big part of that. So come join us on the 15th. We'll have that at the end of our regular morning worship service, and you will get to take communion out of your own olive wood cup, and you'll be able to take that home with you as a reminder of God's goodness and his blessing and of his resurrection. So just a couple of other things. I want to take a moment just to thank you for all of the comments, cards, gifts, birthday wishes that you gave me this past week. I am so overwhelmed. I've tried to answer a lot of them. I can barely get through it, but I am so overwhelmed. I am so blessed. Thank you so much for all that you've done. Central Baptist, thank you so much for your kind gift that you bestowed upon me as your pastor for my birthday. I am just so grateful to have the opportunity to be your pastor. Finally, and then I'll get out here so you guys can go grab your bite for lunch. We want to continue to remember Brandy. I've got to get an update on her. It's been a few days as the weather's been crazy, but Brandy Holt, we want to remember her in your prayers. She's been struggling up there in the hospital. We're praying God's going to do some good stuff in her life. Marsha Wall. Marsha will be having surgery tomorrow morning. She'll be having a knee replacement. So we want to lift Marsha up in our prayers. Like I say, hopefully she'll be able to get there, and hopefully they haven't changed her surgery around, because that's one of those things that you certainly want to get over with. And finally, continue to remember Steve Kelly. Steve is currently in Linden, Tennessee. He is deployed with North Carolina Baptist on missions, and he is part of the chaplaincy crew that's down there. And I have a feeling that Steve is probably in charge of the chaplains in Linden right now. So let's pray for him. Let's pray for the other chaplains as they go out and as they serve the Lord. Folks, listen, I just want to let you know, I love you. God bless you. I'm glad that we have this opportunity to be able to come together by way of online, but I certainly look forward to the day when we have the opportunity to get back together in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist Church. So at any rate, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Know that I am praying for you, that I love you. As always, if there's anything you need, please contact us. I am tickled to death for our deacons. Deacons meeting, we had that scheduled for last week and put it off to this week. Obviously, it's put off for this week. We're going to try it again next week. But at any rate, pray for your deacons. If there's anything that you need, please reach out to us. Don't rob us of an opportunity to be able to serve you, okay? Our deacons are going to be checking on particularly our shut-ins, our widows. If there's anything that you need, please don't hesitate to let us know and don't sit back and say, well, I just don't want to ask. Don't rob us of an opportunity to serve you. So at any rate, I pray the blessing that I still remember growing up with, and here's what I leave you with. The word says, may the Lord watch between me and thee why we're absent one from another. God bless. Have a great day.